First, I want to thank Claudia for leading us in that last song. Been singing it for like 2 weeks. I just can't get it out of my mind. Since I chose the scripture passage from the lectionary to preach on today. Because we all know how good it is to be chosen, right? We know what it's like to be picked. Who can forget those wonderful days of our youth picking teams and the joy of standing there waiting to be chosen? It was always great when you were not the last one chosen and relegated to some team. Oh, I guess we'll take him along. You guys can have him. You know, it's always best, actually, not to be the folks in the audience there, but to be the two team captains standing there making the choices, because when you are the team captains, you have the power. Yes, then it becomes captain's choice. And that's more often than not when we talk about becoming Christians and saving faith in Jesus Christ, we typically talk about our choice. It's your choose, your choice. You choose Jesus. And we say, yes, I choose Jesus. And you're the team captain. And Jesus is your first pick. He's the star player on your team. That's how we present it. But there's something wrong with that based on today's scriptures and based on our understanding of who God is and who we are, because we are not who we think we are. We are who he says we are. Yes, I choose Jesus, but it's not all about my choice that makes our salvation work. We choose, but our choice is in response to God's choice of us first. In other words, before we became the team captain and got to say, I choose Jesus to be on my team, which is really his team, God chose us to be the choosers. Joshua puts it this way. He says, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates and Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, and they served other gods. What we skipped over, what the lectionary skips over, is the recitation of how God chose Abraham and led him and his family into the land of promise. How God repeatedly chose Abraham, protected him, guided him, and led him throughout life. I think the lectionary does us a disservice, so listen to the part of the scripture that was implied but not read this morning. Let's make it explicit. I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan, made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt, and I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of it. And afterward I brought you out. I brought out your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and made the sea come upon them and cover them. And your eyes saw what God did in Egypt. And you lived in the wilderness a long time. Then God brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you, and God gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land. And God destroyed them before you, and Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel. And he sent and invited Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But God says, I would not listen to Balaam. Indeed, he blessed you, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over the Jordan, came to Jericho, and the leaders of Jericho fought against you, and also the Amorites and Perizzites and Canaanites and Hittites and Girgashites and Hivites and Jebusites. And God says, I gave them into your hand. I set the hornet before you, which drove them out before you, the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or your bow. I gave you the land on which you had not labored, cities you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and of olive orchards that you did not plant. And then Joshua continues, now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away other gods. Over and over again, God rescued his people. He brought them out of slavery back to the land he had promised would be theirs. Why? Because God chose them. And friends, in the same way, today we know that God chooses you and me to be his children, his holy nation, his royal priesthood, his treasured possession in all the earth. But here's the amazing thing. God doesn't compel us. God doesn't compel us to be his people. He doesn't force our allegiance, our choice. He chooses us and he says, do you want to play with me? Will you choose me? God lets us choose. So as we hear the story of Joshua, who fit the battle of Jericho, yeah. As we listen to the history of the people of Israel and God delivering them, as we worry about our world and what's taking place, will we choose the gods that we grew up with? Money, fame, power, prestige? Or will we choose the Lord to be our God? Here's the thing. Being chosen and then choosing God means we're part of the church, part of a team. And I've been thinking a lot lately about team sports. And I've developed a mantra as I was teaching the class on Church 101 last week. And if they got one thing out of that week, I hope they get this one little thing out of last week. Whoops, I jumped. Church is a team sport, right? When you're part of the church, it's not just, okay, God, you and me. You know, we think of Noah, okay, God, just you and me. We're going to survive in this boat. No, it was Noah and his family. What would have happened if God had just chosen Noah and Noah said, you know, it's just you and me, God. I built this boat. We're okay. Humanity would have ended with Noah because there wouldn't have been any children to continue on after Noah. Folks, being God's people, being part of the church universal who looks to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord means you're part of a team sport. You've seen it before. Churches love this billboard. CH, CH. What's missing? You are. You've heard the old thing, you know, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the doors, and here's all the people. The church isn't the building, it's the people. It's not the projects we do, it's the people who've responded to God saying, I choose you, choose me to be your God. Joshua, as he presented this choice, was thinking back to the giving of the law by God on Mount Sinai, and Moses telling the people what God had said. Here's one part what God said. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, choose me, and keep my covenant, choose me, you shall be my treasured possession among all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. This is what Peter picks up on in his letter to the church, God's people dispersed all over the globe because of the persecution of Rome. We are God's treasured possession. We are a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. We belong to the God who chose us, whom we chose to be our God. Being God's people means being a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. It means being God's treasured possession. What's your most treasured possession? What's the one thing you don't want to lose? Your house is on fire. You're standing looking at it. There's something inside you really want to make sure that you keep. What are you going to run into a burning house to get? Pictures? your bank books, your guns, your computers. There's only one thing that I would run into a burning house to get: my wife, my children. Everything else is replaceable. Everything else is just stuff. My wife, she's my most treasured possession, and I know that I am hers. That's how God feels about you and about me. He wants us to be with him. He wants us to choose him, to stand before people and say, I choose Jesus Christ to be my Savior and my Lord, because he's chosen me to save me. But God won't coerce your choice. He simply presents an option. Choose. But when we choose our soulmate, there are consequences. We promise to love that person forever, to cherish that person, to live in fidelity to that person. And the same is true about choosing God. Choose God. Put away those things that compete with your affection for God in your life. Those false idols. Anything that usurps your love for God in your life. Money. Being liked by others. You'd be amazed at how many people do so much just because they want people to like them. Your work. Oh, my identity is all caught up in what I do. What do you do when you retire? You're nothing. Your identity isn't caught up in your work, folks. It's in who you are in relationship to God. I am who he says I am. Your future income, your home, anything can be an idol. Remember, God chose you, and we responded with, yes, Lord. That yes is an invitation to let God have his way in your life. Because when we choose God, God changes us. He turns us into his holy treasure. He transforms us into a royal priesthood, people who live in such a way that draw attention not to us, but to the grace of God at work in our lives. We're the people who can stand in the midst of struggle and turmoil and chaos and not lose our heads, because we know that God is in control. It doesn't look like it, doesn't feel like it, but he's in control. And I trust in him. And I'm going to bring his holy grace into whatever situation I face. It's time to choose today. Choose. Like Joshua, I choose to live for the one who chose me. Let us pray. God of grace, we give you thanks for the opportunity to consider your words of grace this day. We thank you that you don't coerce us, saying, here I am, you must worship me. You say, choose, offer me your heart, because mine's in your hands. So God, we offer ourselves back to you, all that we are, all that we have, and ask you to receive us and make us yours, wholly and completely. For your glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.